Thank you. I just love church. It's so good. It's a good place to be. I love being at church. I get encouraged. I get ministered to, and God speaks to us here. It's just a good place to be. I enjoy coming to church. I believe that God is here, and he's just interested in our services. But if we don't watch it, the children will outnumber us soon. There's such a blessing to see that many children and excited to have a children's lesson. Thank you, Joshua, for bringing that lesson to us this morning. Above all, it says, I don't know if that's more important or not, but we need that shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And I agree, it's every one of those weapons, every one of those armors is very important. And you wouldn't think of just going out in the battlefield with a shield. Like, that wouldn't probably work so good. But it's the whole armor. It's the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are we in that day? Are we in the evil day yet? Or is that still coming? I would say we are. I believe we are in the evil day. And we need to put on the armor of God and trust that we're going to win. Trust that through Christ we are going to win. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. Thank you. Bless you all. Greet you in the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name, the name that is worthy of all glory, honor, power, dominion, might, of all the millions of people that will gather one day to worship him, he's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Praise the Lord. This morning, when I look at Peter here, when I look at the word honor, I want to talk about honor this morning. 1 Peter 2, verse 17 says, honor all men. I'm going to read the whole Peter 2, just kind of to get a little bit of an idea. I feel like the word honor comes up a lot in the Bible, but it's, I think, kind of unusual to be right here in this context of Peter's exhortation and just encouragement to the people there he was writing to. But let's read 1 Peter 2. We're going to start verse 1 and read to verse 17. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You know, we think about maybe just what we shared last couple weeks ago here as far as submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. He was encouraging them to give themselves to whatever is needed there. And he had been encouraging them that they're now a people of God. They're a chosen people. They're supposed to abstain from their fleshly lusts, which are warring against the soul. And by their conduct, they would put to silence these wicked people. And I think it was through their conduct and through their lifestyle that this was going to happen. And I think there's probably nothing greater of a testimony against a wicked person or a wicked or an evil king than if somebody who would honor you anyway. And I think this is just the fact here that Peter was encouraging them, submitting themselves to these people, and they were not in a good day. This was not a day like we're living in. I mean, the day we live in, even though somewhat our government is, we say, somewhat corrupt or whatever, but for the most part, we can continue to live our life the way we desire. I mean, we're not held to the sword. We're not held in prison for our faith. And I believe in this time here, under the authority of Nero and the Roman Empire, they didn't have a good life like we do. We have a good life. We can kind of go about our day. We were coming here this morning. We didn't expect to get persecuted or shut down on the way here or anything. And so maybe we don't really, maybe how do we grasp what he's actually asking for these people to do in honoring all men and to honor the king, even if he is corrupt in that way. And I think, you know, to honor one another as they would honor him, I believe there's nothing that will soften a king's heart than just honor. And yet at the same time, as Joshua shared about Daniel, I believe in a way, what do we do when we have a command of the king to do something, or like Daniel and his friends were portioned to eat the meat of the king, and yet they knew this is not what the word would allow, or God, this is not what God wanted them to do. God did not, God had an order in what they should eat and what they shouldn't, and this defiled that. And so how did they address it? They didn't just kind of sloppily, or, you know, they honored him. It's like, okay, could we try this? They had a plan. They didn't make him feel bad or whatever. They honor is esteeming one higher and maybe placing value on someone. So the way they approached that, the king actually gave them, honored their requests. Like, okay, let's try it for 10 days and we'll see what happens. And David honored Saul couple times when he could have killed him, and his servants thought he should, and he would have what he was called to be the king. And yet he honored Saul in knowing that he was a chosen vessel by God. And I think there's a way. What do we do when we have these things in front of us, when we have ordinances, or when we have authority over us who is asking us to do things that are contrary to the word of God? I believe there's a way that we can honor. And I think it goes that way with family, it goes that way with church, it goes that way with business. There's authority over us, there's an authority structure, and I believe when we see the authority structure is violation against the word of God, and we're called to do what they want us, or like you're called, maybe in your business you would be, just say this, you know, it's okay, just nobody will know the difference, right? Well, I mean, maybe nobody will know the difference if you write down the wrong information, just to make it look good, but God knows. And, you know, maybe there's a way to say, well, you know, I understand that this could be good for your business, but I can't lie, you know, or whatever it might be. There'd be an honorable way to, how did the three Hebrew children were asked to bow down to the big statue, and yet they could have thought, well, I mean, God understands, he sees our heart, you know, we'll bow down, at least we don't have to go to the fiery furnace, but God knows that we're worshiping him, we're not worshiping. Well, he knew you know, maybe he would know their heart. But that's not the thing. The issue was God said, thou shalt not bow down. And it would have bowed down. And so they just made the decision. They're not going to bow down. Oh, king, we are careful to answer you, but we're just not going to do this. This is a violation again. So how do we, you know, what does God's word teach us in honoring one another in this context of being submitted under the authority of a wicked ruler in this way? Or just injustice in general, or let's say me as a father, I make this decision and yet it doesn't line up or work well with whatever, I don't know what it may be. There's an honorable way for the children to come to me. It's like, okay, I understand this. If this is what you want, then that's one thing. But how about this? Or is there a way to approach one another in an honorable way? One of another. Honor one another. Honor all men, it says. That includes all. I mean, it doesn't just include, like, from the bottom up. I believe honor can work both ways. I don't think honor is just for children to parents or parents or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't think honor is just one thing, as you would say, those who are under authority to honor those in authority. I think honor works both ways. So, you know, how do we address that? And how's a proper way to address that? I think there's an honorable way to address those. And the word has a lot to say about honor. What's an honorable way to reprove someone? Do we reprove one another? Do we rebuke or exhort one another? And what's an honorable way to exhort someone? We don't just, you know, so to speak, lash out, but there's an honorable way to do something. And I've heard where before you reprove or rebuke someone, fast for 3 days, and then maybe then that'll help take the edge off, right? Or it'll prove how important it is to you to reprove. Or how do we do that? Is honor the same as obedience? Honor and obedience are, I think, two kind of different. Obedience is I tell you what to do and you obey, right? Or I believe honor is when someone isn't around and, like, I know the like, I can honor even my dad-in-law even though he's not here. I believe we can honor them, and it's just placing value, fixing value on them, and most importantly, I think we honor God by reverencing him, and we can honor one another by reverencing one another. What if I make a wrong decision? Do my children still need to honor me? And the Bible says, honor father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And what does that look like? What does it mean to have a long life, or that thy days may be long upon the land? And I don't know for sure, because I know people who died at a young age and were honoring their parents and living in an honorable life. You know, does that just mean that, well, maybe not for them, or is this just for some? Or just the thought already was, when we live in a way that is honoring to one another, I believe even that our days may be long, that the working of the Spirit of God even in us can continue. When we live in a way of dishonoring one another, or not in an honorable way, I think that's the quickest way to quench the Spirit of God in us, and we may, you know, lose our way or whatever. I think one way is when we honor, God honors us. Jesus said of the Pharisees, ye honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So it's not always just what we're saying either. It's not always what we're saying, but is it actually a position of our heart when we honor one? It must be in tune with our heart. Like the Pharisees, they might have said things that sounded right, and yet in their heart there was not an honor or a reverence for God or the Word of God. So really, how is it that we honor, and yet we can say it, and yet we don't honor because our heart isn't right? Romans 12:10. This is Romans 12:10, verse 10. It says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." So how do we, we're here called to honor one another in preferring one another, in thinking, no, that's okay, I want you to have this, or I want you to go first, or I want, and yet where's that honor? And how do we, if somebody doesn't go, and you know, we say we want to honor one another, well, at some point someone needs to go, right? Or let's just, for instance, we have a line of people who want to go do something, and you know, maybe you're anxious to get going, and yet, no, I want you to go first, or whatever. Honoring, preferring one another, being affectionate and kind to one another. John 12, verse 26, John 12, verse 26, it says, "If any man serve me," this is Jesus talking, "let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." So do we want the honor of God on our lives? Like, is there actually possible that God would honor me? Here it says, if I serve Christ, if any man serve me, Jesus said, him will my Father honor. And I believe God places very, very, very high value on each one of his children. Very high value on each one of his children. If we serve him, if we serve Christ, God is going to honor us. God honors us. Proverbs 3, verse 9. This is maybe just a little bit of in a different way, but how do we honor God? I'm going to read from verse 1 to 9, I think it is, 10 maybe. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Here it is, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." So if we keep the law of God, if we keep his law, it adds length of days and long life. And yet we know that there is people who die even though they keep his commandments at a younger day age than what others do. And yet when we think maybe this in eternity, we have long life, peace. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So I think if we walk in the ways of God and we walk in his footsteps, if we have favor, we have honor from God, we have good understanding in the sight of God and man. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And if we think about that as we're making decisions throughout the day, just acknowledge, "Lord, what do you want me to do here? How did you want me to look at this?" Or maybe it's, "I know I shouldn't do this." And I use this illustration already. When I knew my dad was around, I didn't do certain things, right? Because in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And if I knew that dad was close by, I wouldn't do things, certain things, right? Just think about that as God, in all thy ways, just recognize that he's here and he's going to direct your paths. "God, what do you want me to do? Should I move into this ministry? Should I do this, or should I be part of that, or whatever?" If we acknowledge him, he will direct us. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." We'll talk more about fear as it told, fear God in that verse as well. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. But here it says in verse 8, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." That's that fear of the Lord. and is going to be health to my to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Talked recently about giving, and it's like, it doesn't make sense that you would give and receive, and it says, if you give, your barns will be filled with plenty, and thy presses bursting out with new wine. But that's the Lord. When the Lord, when we walk in a way that it pleases God, and He honors us, He honors us because of Christ in us. And I believe when we think of honor, there's just a lot of scriptures in the Word with honor, and I didn't near go to them all. I knew we wouldn't even be able to explain and expound the word honor in the way I would like to. I'm just not sure that I totally understand this word to the depth of it, other than when we honor one another, we place value on each other. And I believe whenever we place value on someone, we wouldn't harm them, or we wouldn't hurt them, speak against them. And I think when we honor in this here setting here, as these brothers and sisters were strangers and foreigners in a maybe a little bad situation, and yet Peter is like, honor the king, honor all men, honor the king, be respectful and place value on him. He's set there by God. I mean, God orders all kings according to the word that he sets kings in place and he removes them. And so how does that work out in our everyday life? look at the next is love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. This is interesting verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:9. This is just kind of, it says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's an interesting verse. Paul's like, you know, I don't have to teach you about this, about loving one another. You've been taught by God how to love one another. God is love, and if you have God in your heart and you walk with him, you honor him, you walk with him, honor each other, there's love that is flowing from you. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. In other words, just let it flow. Let it continue. And be not afraid to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Let love continue. Let hospitality work out in us, in our lives. May our lives be that of being hospitable one to another, honoring each other, respecting, reverencing one another in a way that makes each other feel valued. When we feel value, it changes the way we look at things. It changes the way we approach things. I believe when someone feels value and has value placed on them, it just makes a difference. And we'll look at the word fear. It says, fear God. Fear God. What does it mean to fear God? And, you know, what's a healthy fear? I think one fear is when you're just scared. You know, perfect love casts out fear. For there's, you know, we don't need to fear. And so we try to cast out fear, and we rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. What is the fear of God? What is the proper fear that Peter is talking about here? I think there's a proper place, there's a right place to have or be afraid, in a sense, having the right fear of God in maybe being afraid. Matthew 10:28 says, and fear not them which kill the body, which would be man, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So there's a right fear of being afraid of doing wrong, in knowing that God has the ability to destroy both soul and body in hell. But we're not to be afraid of men. We're not to be afraid of them and or the people who are not working with us or whatever. It says, fear not them which kill the body. Maybe they were threatened to, if you're threatened to give up your faith and or they're going to kill us. Well, don't fear that. Don't be afraid of them. Be not afraid of them. They can maybe kill the body, but that's all they got power over. But if you fear God, walk in his ways and honor him, walk in his statutes, keep his commandments, because he's able to kill, destroy both body and soul in hell. So I think there's a right fear of having a proper fear of God and knowing that he is in control. Here's Acts 5. I'm going to read a few verses here, verses 5 to 11. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway and at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So were they all of a sudden afraid to go to church, or what for fear came on them? Like this was a fearful thing, that all of a sudden here we have a husband and a wife falling down dead because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And I was like, we need to have the proper fear of God in knowing that God sees what we're about. And even in just that lying to the Holy Spirit, how often do we find ourselves just kind of casually going about our life and thinking, well, it doesn't matter. And yet, if we're lying and trying to be someone or trying to play the hypocrite. They were hypocrites coming in there, making it look like they really did give a bunch of money to someone, and yet they didn't. How often do we portray in our life that we are someone who we really aren't? And I think what I'm coming at or see here is the greatest potential for death to our spirit and to our life and our excitement with God and devotion to him is trying to be someone who we're not. But it says great fear came upon all the church, and rightly so. I mean, there wasn't people going to, again, think about trying to bring up something like that and make it look better than it really was, because they've seen that this is not just a casual wanna be nice. This is reality, and great fear came upon all the people there. And so as we think about, you know, do we fear God? Do we have a proper fear of God? And yet I think also in the Psalms there's a lot of in the scriptures of just like they saw God and just they were just in awe, fear and awe. And I think, you know, what's the difference between a fear as in, is it proper to say that I was afraid to do something because of the consequences? I don't think that's wrong in itself. I mean, I think it's okay to have a right fear. And I believe God gave us that fear. I wouldn't intentionally just put my hand over a fire or touch the flame because of what the consequences are. And I think it's a right fear of God in knowing that he rewards us as if we diligently seek him. But like there is a way that we should be afraid to walk. It says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and not in being afraid that every time we do something it's wrong, but like, you know, yeah, just be have a right respect that God is watching and God knows what you're about and what you're doing. And he sees that. And he sees whether you're reverencing him or if it's just kind of, well, I don't know, it doesn't matter anyway. It seems like everybody else is doing it. What's the big deal? Well, it is actually a big deal. I think God has a right, God desires a reverence and a respect for what he knows what's best. It's not like he just wrote this as a some kind of a authority over us, just wanted somebody to see he could get us to obey or whatever. Like, he has our best in mind. And so I believe this is a right fear of God in Romans 3:10-18. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed innocent blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. We see a lot of that today. People who just bluntly say they don't fear God. And they're just okay with whatever. God is not who he said he is, or they just don't believe it, that he has everything in his control. And yet we know that there needs to be a fear of God. This is all going to come to an end one day when this evil is going to stop. God is going to bring an end to it all. And I believe he has given us the word, the word of God, to that we could use it as a way of working out our own salvation. Not in a sense that we need to do it ourselves. He paid for our salvation. And working that out in fear of trembling is just simply living your life in a way that is honoring and walking in God's ways and being submitted under his authority. Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And what does that look like? How do we submit to one another in the fear of God? Like, that's a really beautiful thought in walking together as a church, as a family, as a business. I mean, just in whatever. I mean, I know this is here kind of the beginning of some instructions to husbands and wives, and yet it starts out, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I believe that's the beginning of a healthy relationship with anyone, really, is when there's a submission, when we submit one to another in the fear of God. And how do we walk that out as specifically husbands and wives? How do we submit one to another? You know, I was asked already, did you ever obey your wife? And I was like, well, sure. I mean, I've honored some of her requests, or I've done things already that she would recommend, or like she thought we should do. And it's like, sure. Well, you know, is that submitting to her? And I'm like, well, I mean, it's okay to submit one to another. I mean, I think the reason our wives are called to submit to us, because they generally, I think, for some reason, naturally want to lead out. And wives are a little more spiritual than men, so they kind of have a lot of more insight. And no, I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, there's a nice way to submit one to another, and I believe there should be. I've honored some of her requests already, and we've went with what she thought was best. I said, that's great. Like, we should be able to do that. And yet somewhere there is, someone needs to make a choice. It wasn't just like, okay, she didn't come and just say, well, we're going to do it this way. I don't care what you say. There was a communication. There's a submitting one to another. And I'm like, well, you know what? That is actually better. So let's do it that way. It doesn't say husbands submit to your wives, but it does say one to another. So I think that would include us to submit and in the fear of God. So that's just, I think, a beautiful way to that we are encouraged as as husband and wife, but I think even in the church, I don't think it should be just, you know, we make the rules and everybody else submits to us. That's not healthy relationships in a church either. We're not here to rule over you. We're not set in place as authority or as leadership, just as a ruling over. But I think it's beautiful when we see submission one to another in the fear of the Lord. And I've seen and experienced that here many times already. When, you know, we've been we've had communication with some of you in just different things, and it's just I've just been blessed by being able to submit one to another in the fear of God and seeing. The health of the body is what God is, God paid for is each one of us, and He didn't set us up here as one way is just lording over you, but I believe there's a way to honor, and I think even the Bible says to honor those who rule over you, and I don't think that means like we're ruling, but there is a place that we walk in honor one to another, and so I think if we read the Bible, if we study that word, I think it just applies to all. Like it's not just like it says honor all men, and I believe that would mean, you know, I'm to honor my children honor me, and yet I think there's a place where, you know, God gives us authority, and children are called to. It I don't know that it says anywhere that I'm that. You know, parents are to honor their children. You say the children are to honor their parents. But there's an honor in just one to another and a walking together. However, that could get out of hand if we don't do it the right way, right? Understand me. I'm not saying that there should be a overall just, you know, like your children get to say what you want. But I think there's an honorable way to walk in that and a way that we can honor one another, and just the way I think if we serve Christ, as I've seen there in John 5, if we serve Christ, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And I don't think there would be any other greater motivation for us to serve God or to serve Christ than to have God honor us. What greater honor could there be bestowed on someone than the honor of God, than God honoring us, and God just saying, you know what, I just love what I see there. I'm going to just honor him, right? And sometimes we're doing it wrong. Sometimes we don't always get it right, and yet God is honoring us even though there's times we mess up, and it wasn't just like carelessly, but we really felt in our heart this is where it is, and yet God allowed that to happen, and then through that he creates, he uses these situations to create in us character and just to build. It's like, okay, I'm sorry, I thought this is what you wanted and it wasn't exactly, and I seen it a little bit different, or however that might be. You know, God has a desire to create in us the character of Christ, and he uses circumstances in our lives for that. All right, God bless you.